'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we read Paul. Paul was the man that God used more than any other man to expound his gospel. What a special man. He was a Pharisee before God saved him, a very religious man, and God saved him and used him to be the great expositor of the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Not the gospel of men, not man's invention, but the gospel of God. Paul said in Galatians, the gospel which was preached to me was not of man, neither by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God taught Paul the gospel. He worked directly through Paul. He spoke to Paul. Paul said he was brought up into the third heavens. The Lord taught him the gospel directly. We've learned the gospel through a man. Some man taught us the gospel. Paul didn't learn his gospel from a man. God taught him the gospel directly. His writings are the words of Scripture. His writings are infallible. Now, he was a fallible man. He was a sinful man. By his own admission, he was a sinful man. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But God spoke the gospel. God defined the gospel through this man, the Apostle Paul. Paul, an apostle, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. An apostle simply means a sent one. He was sent with the word of God, separated unto the gospel of God. And then Paul goes on to say, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is the gospel of the Old Testament Scriptures. Someone that can't preach the gospel from the Old Testament Scriptures doesn't know the gospel. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament, nor can you really understand the Old Testament without the New Testament. He said the gospel he was separated to was the one concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul called the gospel of God my gospel. My gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, I want to deal with this question. Actually, two questions. When is the gospel my gospel? The gospel has a definite content. It's an objective message. It's not subject to what I think or what you think. It's got a definite message, a definite content, that if that content is not preached, the gospel is not preached. I can give so many examples of that, but when does the objective gospel become my personal gospel? And the second question I want to deal with is, how can I know that my gospel, the gospel that is I call my gospel, how can I know that it is the gospel of the Scriptures? Two very interesting questions. Now, Paul called the gospel, I love the way he called it, the gospel of God. Not man's gospel, but the gospel of God. The gospel is also called, in 1 Timothy 6:11, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Now, the gospel is all about God's glory. Who gets the glory is the issue of the gospel. Now, in the gospel, it's about His glory. Not man's glory, but God's glory. In Revelation 14:6, the gospel is called the everlasting gospel. I love that title of the gospel. It never began, it never ends, it's never modified, it's never adapted to the times. You know, preachers and churches say we're making the Bible relevant. Now, the moment you try to make the Bible relevant, you become completely irrelevant. The Bible is the truth. It's God's eternal word. The gospel is God's eternal gospel. You don't need to make it relevant. You just preach it and declare what the Bible says, what the gospel is, and trust God to take care of the results. We don't try to make the scriptures relevant. We don't try to make the gospel relevant. It troubles me so much when I see people trying to market the gospel and churches market the gospel and try to make it more palatable to the flesh. There's no need to do that. We preach the truth, the naked truth of the gospel, and trust God to take care of the results. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the gospel is called the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the gospel is of grace. Now, what does grace mean? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And included in that group is Noah and everybody else. That's what God saw. Every imagination of the thoughts of heart was only evil continually, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The gospel is the gospel of God's grace, His saving grace, His free favor. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, we read of the gospel of peace. The gospel of God is the gospel of peace. It tells how God can be at peace with me and be satisfied with me. The opposite of peace is turmoil and anguish. And if salvation is in any way dependent upon me, I have turmoil and anguish. But oh, what peace I have when I know that my sin has been dealt with and taken care of, and the Lord put it away, and He gave me His righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not rules and regulations. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, the gospel of peace. And then we read in Colossians 1:13 of the hope of the gospel. Now, the gospel is a message that gives a man hope. Now, I have a hope. Listen to me carefully. Hope is confident expectation. I have a hope that when I stand before God in judgment, He's going to look me over and He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I have a hope that I'm going to be accepted on judgment day. Now, where does that hope come from? It comes from the gospel. You see, the reason He'll say to me, "Well done," is because what Christ did is mine. He kept the law perfectly. He kept it for me. He put away my sins. He was raised for me. My life is His life before God. So I have the hope, the confident expectation that I'm going to be accepted on judgment day. The hope of the gospel. And then Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation." It's the powerful gospel. This gospel can save sinners like me and sinners like you because of the power of it. It is the powerful gospel. Now, as I've said, the gospel of God is an objective message with a definite content. Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now, when does the gospel become my gospel? When does the gospel become my gospel? The gospel becomes my gospel when it's good news to me. I find the message as gospel. Gospel means good news. Now, the gospel becomes my gospel when it is good news to me. Now, the Bible clearly lays out what is called the doctrine of grace, salvation by grace. Now, in the doctrine of grace, man is declared as he truly is, God is declared as he truly is, and salvation is declared as it truly is. Now, that's what the Bible declares. Man as he is, great. God saving by grace, man as he is, his need of grace, God as he is, and salvation as it is. Now, what is man according to the Scripture? Totally evil. Now, you can read the Bible and find that out. I just quoted that Scripture, totally depraved. That's me, that's you. God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When God looks in my heart and when God looks in your heart, he sees only evil continually. You think, well, what about the good things? We're talking about before God. You may be pretty good compared to other men. That's fine. I'm glad you are. But I'm talking about before a thrice holy God. Men cannot save themselves. They're totally depraved. Now, you can prove that from the Scripture. God, by grace, elected a people. He chose who would be saved before the foundation of the world. According, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The Lord said in John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, the Scripture teaches that. The Scripture teaches that when Jesus Christ died, he did not die for all men without exception. He didn't die for the sins of those people who are in hell. He died for his elect. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He said to one crowd, you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe, but you believe not because you're not my sheep. There are sheep and there are goats. Now, when Christ died, he died for his people, his sheep. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he did it. Christ died for his people and accomplished their salvation. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again. I can't be condemned if Christ died for me. The Scripture teaches that God's grace actually saves. Grace is not an offer. God doesn't offer you salvation. God doesn't offer you forgiveness. God doesn't offer you grace. Grace saves. By grace ye are saved. It's invincible and it's irresistible. And God's people, all those the Father elected, all those the Son redeemed, all those the Holy Spirit calls, they shall persevere all the way to the end. Now, I see that that is taught in the Scripture. But is it good news? It is good news to me that God elected a people, because I know I wouldn't be saved if he didn't choose a people. And that election was free. It didn't have anything to do with their works. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It's good news to me that when Christ died, he completely saved everybody he died for. And the only hope I have is that Christ died for me. If you tell me that he could die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, you've taken away my only hope. It's good news to me that God's grace cannot be resisted, because I know I will resist it. I need his irresistible, invincible grace to save me. It's good news. It's good news to me that God's people will persevere all the way to the end because they're preserved by the grace of God. That's good news. Now, this is the gospel of God. Now, when is it my gospel? When it's good news, when it's gospel to me. Now, the second question that I want to ask, I see when the gospel is gospel, when it becomes my gospel, when it's good news to me, how can I know if my gospel, the gospel that really is good news to me, good news from a far country, how can I know if my gospel is the gospel? Now, let me give you these reasons. Here's how I can know. First of all, does my gospel line up with the Old Testament Scriptures? The gospel that I believe, does it line up with the Old Testament scriptures. Paul, when he declared the gospel, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that," 1 Corinthians 15:3, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now, the New Testament had not yet been completed. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. Can I put my gospel to the light of the Old Testament scriptures? For instance, the Passover. What a beautiful picture of the gospel, where blood was put over the door, the blood of the Paschal lamb, the innocent lamb, and blood was put over the door. And if you were in a house with the blood over the door, when God passed through, you were saved. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, what if someone was extra bad? Doesn't matter. If they were in the house with the blood was over the door, God passed them by. And he didn't say, "When you see the blood." He said, "When I see the blood." What's the one thing God was looking for? Blood. He didn't say, "When I see your sincerity," or "When I see your good works," or "When I see how you've changed." He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Everybody, without exception, who is in a house with the blood over the door, God passed by in mercy. And anybody outside of the house, the firstborn died. Now, does my gospel line up with that? The Old Testament scriptures. I think of the Day of Atonement. The great high priest going into the Holy of Holies with the breastplate of the names of the children of Israel on his chest and coming in with the blood of the lamb and coming in for Israel and God accepting Israel. He didn't come in for everybody. He came for Israel. Does my gospel line up with the Old Testament scriptures? He died for our sins according. It's how that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. If I just say Christ died for our sins, I'm not preaching the gospel. I'm not telling the truth. I'm leaving out a part. It's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now here's the second question I want to ask so I can see if my gospel is the gospel. Does my gospel give God all the glory in salvation? Does my gospel give God all the glory in salvation? How does my gospel answer this question, "Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what do you have that you didn't receive?" Now, if I'm a believer, I do differ. I'm different from somebody who's not a believer. I do indeed differ, and it was God who made me to differ. God the Father chose me, God the Son redeemed me, and God the Holy Spirit gave me spiritual life. God only made me to differ. Let me ask you four questions under this head. The teaching of this day could be pretty much summarized by God loves you, Christ died for you, he wants to save you. He shed his blood for you to put away all your sins. But you won't be saved unless you personally accept what he did. And until you accept it, it's not going to be yours. Now, he died for everybody. This is the teaching of our day. Christ, God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody. God, the Holy Spirit's calling everybody, wants you to be saved. But you won't be saved unless you accept what he has done for you. And if you reject what he's done for you, you'll end up being damned. Now, let's take Peter and Judas. We know Peter was saved. We know Judas was lost. Now, if God loved Peter and Judas the same, what does the love of God have to do with salvation? Nothing. If he loved Judas and Judas winds up in hell and Peter winds up in heaven, if he loved him the same, love didn't have anything to do with the salvation of Peter. It's what Peter did. If God willed the salvation of Peter and Judas, what's the will of God have to do with salvation? Nothing. It's what Peter did do that Judas didn't do. If Christ died, if he shed his blood equally for Judas and Peter, what's the blood of Christ have to do with salvation? Absolutely nothing. If Judas is in hell and Christ died for him and paid for his sins, and Judas is in heaven and Christ died for him and paid for his sins, that means the blood of Christ didn't have anything to do with it. It's what Peter did, Judas didn't do. It gives man the glory in salvation. You see that? Who gets the glory is the issue. And it's an issue to God. God said, my glory I'll not share with another. In your gospel, who gets the glory? Does God get all of the glory? Thirdly, does my gospel, the gospel that I call my gospel, does it give all the preeminence to Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, it's not the gospel. Now, my gospel, every doctrine of my gospel gives all the preeminence to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was chosen, I was chosen in Him. If I'm justified, I'm justified by His righteousness. If I have faith, He is the object of my faith. He's the giver of my faith. If I'm sanctified, I'm sanctified in Christ Jesus. If I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed by His blood. If I'm made a child, it's because I'm united to Him, a child of God. As He is, so are we in this world. All that Christ is, the believer is. And Christ gets all the preeminence. He gets all the glory. I love that scripture. Christ is all in all. He has the preeminence. He's all to God. He's all in the scriptures. He's all to the believer. He's all there is to be preached. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Does my gospel give the preeminence to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things? Now, fourthly, does my gospel line up with the character and attributes of God as He's revealed in the Scriptures? Now, God makes Himself known in the Scriptures. We find out who He is and what He's like in the Scriptures. Now, there are things we can guess about Him. We can look at creation and think He's very powerful and very wise. There's things we can guess about God. But as far as His true nature and attributes, they're made known in the Scriptures. For instance, God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. God is absolutely just. Now, does the gospel, I believe, line up with that? You know, there are people, most people, as far as that goes, believe that there are people in hell that Christ died for. Do you know if you believe something like that, you take away that you say God's not just. You make Him to be unjust. That who could punish, if my sin was punished by Christ and Him punished me for it again, why, that would be unjust. That would make God wrong. Does my gospel line up with the attributes of God? God is sovereign. Scripture teaches that. He reigns. He's in control. If I believe that man has a will that's free from God's sovereign will, and that I can keep God from will being done by not letting Him because this is my will to do something, I say man's will is sovereign over God. Hey, you see, does my gospel line up with the attributes of God? God's immutability, His changelessness, His holiness. God is God, and my gospel better line up with His attributes, because if it doesn't, it's not the gospel of God, and it's not a gospel that'll save me. Now, here's the next thing I'd like to say. Will my gospel meet me where I am and save me? And this is so very important. Most people have a belief that they got to reach this point before God can do this. I either need to stop this, start this, I need to believe, I need to, all these different things that I need to do before God can work. Now, I love that parable of the Good Samaritan, the fellow laying in the ditch. Scripture says the Good Samaritan came to him where he was. And my gospel comes to me where I am. Christ comes to me where I am, dead, helpless, unable to save myself, and He gives me life. He comes to me where I am, and He gives me life. Oh, thank God He comes to me where I am. Ephesians 2, you hath He quickened who were dead in sins. Verse 4 says, but God, He talks about what we were, and He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. My gospel comes to me where I am and saves me. Now, here's the next question I have with regard to my gospel. Will my gospel save the chief of sinners? Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. I'm the worst man to ever live. Now, will my gospel save the chief of sinners? Now, I guess we've got to define the term to understand what that means. What's the Bible mean by the word sinner? Well, the sinner is the one who commits the sin. Now, if you're a sinner, that means that all you do is sin. It means you cannot not sin. It means you don't have the right to look down your nose at anybody. And it means you have no claims on God's mercy at all. He would be utterly just if he left you to perish. Now, are you a sinner? Can your gospel save the chief of sinners? Paul said, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Yes, my gospel will save the very chief of sinners. Thank God for that. Will my gospel keep me saved? You know, there are people who believe that you can be saved one day and lost the next. Now, if I can be saved one day and lost the next, I guarantee you I will be lost. I need a gospel that keeps me saved. And the Lord said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, that's the only kind of gospel that will do me any good, a gospel that keeps me saved. Now, if you can fall away from grace, it wasn't grace in the first place. I've heard people say, well, he's fallen from grace. No, he hadn't, you have. Grace is his only hope. Can your gospel keep you saved? And can I face death with my gospel? Can I look at death and know that all I need is found in the gospel I believe? Not have I done enough, not have I stopped this and started that, but can I look at death and know that all that God requires of me I have in Christ Jesus, and I can actually say for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, if my gospel do that for me, my gospel is the gospel of God, not the gospel of men, but the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul's gospel is my gospel. Now, we have this message on DVD, CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver, praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.